We're continuing in our series. We've got a wonderful booklet, Building Something Strong and Secure from the Mess and the Rubble. We're on week 4, Family Identity. And when I got my preaching list of what I was preaching on, I had to check with Andy that he really did want, and Duncan, they really wanted me to preach on this. Because if you've ever read Nehemiah 3, it's a list of names. So the great news is for the next half an hour, we're just going to read through some names. I just thought, I don't know, I'm sure something will come out of it, but it's fine. So I'm going to read a little bit, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 5 in Nehemiah 3, 1 to 5, and I'm also going to read Nehemiah 4, 15 to 18. And I apologise in advance to anybody who's a scholar and thinks this is how you should pronounce the names. I have no idea. Not a clue. No doubt it'll be put right by a later person. So, then Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests started to rebuild at the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set up its doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hanal. People from the town of Jericho worked next to them, and beyond them was Zakur, son of Imri. The fish gate was built by the sons of Hashanah. They laid the beams, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. Meremoth, son of Uriah and grandson of Hakoz, repaired the next section of the wall. Besides him were Meshullam, son of Bekiah, and grandson of Meshabal, and then Zadok, son of Benar. Next were the people from Tekoa, though their leaders refused to work with the construction supervisors. Nehemiah 4:15. The work resumes. When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried out the work, and with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Fantastic, isn't it? I bet you've, you know, just great names. I have to tell you, when I was reading that list of all the jobs being done, it was like listening to Jerry on a DIY task. I do hope that, you know, he's busy on those. Okay, so this morning it's titled The Rebuilding of the Walls. And I have to be honest with you, when you look at this passage, it is predominantly a list of names. We've detailed accounts of how the wall in Jerusalem was built. And to be honest with you, when I read it and you read it, you think, wow, there are an awful lot of gates. There really are an awful lot of gates. But what's really important is that there is no gate or wall that is actually more important than any other gate or wall. The whole process happened together. The gate and the walls were built at the same time. They had over 40 different places, and they were all building at the same time. Because, in fact, if one bit of the wall and the gate, and they say, oh, I've done mine, it's fantastic, and there's a great big hole over there, it's not a very defensive place. So, actually, it was really important that everyone worked together to get the walls and the gates finished together so they finished simultaneously. And the other thing is, interestingly, is Nehemiah wanted everyone to be involved. It was no good. Some said, well, I'll do it. I can't be bothered. No. Listen, I've had a bad day. Everybody was involved in building the walls. And what's interesting is they came from all walks of life. They weren't builders by trade. There were priests and Levites and rulers and common people and gatekeepers and goldsmiths. There were pharmacists, there were merchants, temple servants, there were women politicians. We just see a group of a real mix of people who were involved in a task. A whole group of people who wanted to build the wall. A whole group of people who Nehemiah had brought together because they were all sold on this one vision. This one vision. And I began to think, where would you ever find a group of people that were completely different, that came from all different backgrounds, and wanted to commit themselves to building something? And then I came in this morning and I look around this room and I think, is that not what we are at Trinity Church? We all come this morning with a whole range of different gifts and abilities. Trust me, there's nobody going to ask me this morning to be on their building committee. But this morning, we are community. We are a community. We are a community because we have one thing and one thing in common, that we all love the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together as a community of believers. We are a community of Christians. That is what unites us. But it's not just enough just to be a community. We need to know that we are family. And being family is great that we can share our faith. But we also want to be engaged, involved, and connected. Because actually, that was what's important. Actually, all the people that Nehemiah called, they all had something to do. If they built the wall, actually they were protected. They were re-establishing Jerusalem. But, you know, for them to do it, they had to be engaged, involved, and connected with not just God, but with one another. I don't know about you, but in practice, if this is a place that we want to see God's kingdom built, and we want to be a community and a family who build one another up, then we need to be a family who serve one another, encourage one another, and love one another. Sounds pretty easy, isn't it? Yeah? Doddle. And I began to think, well, okay, what does that actually mean? What does it really mean to have all of us working together? How is it that we can how can we all work together and be connected? And I thought the key thing is, first of all, we need to all be involved in the vision. But actually, it's not just enough to be involved in the vision, because we could come here on Sunday morning and say, oh, yes, I'm involved in the vision. Or we could go to work and all Jeremy's staff in his school, they, I'm sure, have a vision, they have a statement of what they're going to do, and the staff could say, fantastic, we all agree with that. And I could go to work and we could say, well, we as members of the team all know that our statement is to be successful and to generate sales. But if we then all just sit behind our desks and stare aimlessly out of the window, or all Jerry's staff sit in the staff room and say, well, that's a wonderful thing, let's have a chat over coffee, and there's no pupils getting taught, and there's nobody, and I'm not going out doing any sales. Actually, it's a great idea. And the people who were building the wall could have said, what a fantastic idea. Yeah, let's build the wall. Woo, yeah. Oh, who, you want me to build the wall? You want me? And interestingly enough, Nehemiah, when he was looking at the people to build the wall, actually what he said was, he said, I tell you what, body, do you know what? When you build this wall, I want you to build the bit of the wall that's near where you live. Because actually, you're invested in the area that you live. You're invested in that bit of space where you live. If I said to you, you know, where do you want to? I want to make sure that the bit of path outside my house is safe. That's where my passion is. My passion is where I can see. It's around the area that I'm surrounded by. And this morning, actually, I want to encourage us to say, okay, where is our passion? What is it that we want to build? And then as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, actually, we are a body of all believers. So we're behind the vision. We've decided we can't just stick behind the desk and do nothing. We have to get involved. And in Romans, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to each other, do it gladly. The reality is, in my company, nobody would want me to be the warehouse person. I can't drive a forklift. I've got no concept of stock and organisation. Me, oh, blow the system, let's get the order out. Who cares? I hope my boss doesn't listen, I'm really in trouble. It's really bad when you're in charge. Because the truth of it is that my skill is being a salesperson. Actually, you all have different skills. And in fact, part of us coming together in community and family is actually working together to utilize our skills together so that we can build the kingdom of God. We want to build the walls in this area. We want to make sure that we are engaged in the vision, but we've all got to get our hands dirty and get involved. And this morning I began to think, as we talk about community and family, where is it that each of us are called to serve? And actually, don't know about you, but sometimes we feel we almost have to serve in a particular area. Maybe because we have young children, well, that means I've got to do youth work. When I was younger, I had a car. It was a Vauxhall Viva, the love of my life. And the engine wasn't very good. And my uncle said to me, my dad had no idea about car repairs at all. But my uncle said to me, look, you know, come to me. And he said, together, we are going to strip down the engine. And he said, we're going to make this car better. Come up for the weekend. And I went there with him, with all enthusiasm. And he's got the engine out, and we're looking there, and we've got the manual out, because in those days, internet didn't exist, guys, sorry. And we had a big manual, and it's got pictures and that. And I think my uncle had said to me, listen, Pete, all I want you to do, he said, start off, first of all, he said, just need you to undo a few screws and we'll take this off and we'll have a look at the carburettor and all of that. And I'm looking at Carbahoo and I'm looking at it. And actually I'm thinking, well, actually, it's my car. I need to be connected. This is my car. You know, as being a car driver, I need to be able to strip down the engine and replace the carburettor and the points. You don't have those either now, probably. I thought, I need to do it. That's my calling. And after about an hour, my uncle walking around saying, oh, yeah, maybe that way, Pete. Maybe that. He said to me, do you know what, Pete? He said, why don't you go and put the kettle on? He said, and make us a cup of tea. And as I walked away, he said the words I remembered all my life. He said, do you know what? He said, you may not be able to strip down a car. He said, but I know you make an amazing cake. Because cooking was my passion. That was what I was really good at. But actually, I began to think about how does this apply in church? And I thought, you know what, actually, sometimes we can get put into holes, you know, I play a piano, I must be a worship leader. But actually, maybe that isn't what your heart is. And this morning, I really felt stirred just to say this morning, what is your passion? And are you doing it? This morning, what is it that God wants you to do? Because if we want to build the walls, if we want to build community and family, and we want to be together as family, we should be honest and open enough to say, do you know what? I've really got a heart for this. I know it's a bit wild, but what do you think? You know what's interesting is when they were building the walls, it wasn't just, there was building and rebuilding. Actually, at some point, they didn't just go around the same line. They went in a different direction because they, I've no idea why, I'm sure, you know, must be reason. But at one point, they didn't go around the same walls. They actually went in a different direction and built a whole new line of wall. And I thought, wow, sometimes we can just get caught up, can't we? We say, well, we're all going in this direction. Well, this is where Trinity is. You know, they don't do this. I'm sure they wouldn't want to, but maybe it's an idea that God's given you and maybe we need to do it. Maybe God's put you here to do something that we don't do here. And actually, as family, we need to get involved and support it. Wow, what sort of a wall would we build if we come along and say, wow, how about doing this? Fantastic. I was just excited the way that we've grown to prayer 24/7. We haven't done that before. Sandy's had a heart for prayer for a long time, and it's just progressed and progressed. But imagine if Sandy had said, I think we're all a bit busy. I don't want to give people another thing to do. Maybe if we'd never started getting involved in CAP or the food bank, because we're really quite busy. I mean, somebody else's job, surely. But actually, isn't family and community, isn't it about doing stuff together? Isn't it about asking God, you know, what is it you want me to do to build in this, our wall? Because actually, this is as family, as Trinity. What's our part to play here? And then I began to think, you know what? The truth of it is, in family, you know, they often say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Actually, in family, you know what? Sometimes we can feel that what we're doing isn't really noticed. We can feel overlooked and insignificant. We can think, do you know what? I'm out there every week doing kids' work. Nobody's ever said anything to me. Do you know what? I make the tea and the coffee and I just feel overlooked. And I put the chairs out and I just, these things are not insignificant. They are really significant because they enable us to function as family. At home, I don't know about you, but you know, I do the cooking quite a lot. So I do all of the cooking. And actually, to do the cooking, I have to do the shopping. Because apparently Linda's found that if I don't do the shopping, we don't get the cooking, so it's no good. But you know what? Sometimes you sort of think, actually, nobody comes home and says, oh, thank you so much for doing the shopping. Thank you, that shopping's amazing. Wow, if only no one else could carry that as groceries the way you do. But actually, do you know what? Sometimes, actually, Linda will say, oh, thanks so much for getting the vegetables or whatever. And that sounds stupid. You actually think, oh, yeah. And I just want to encourage you. But, you know, God says, actually, in the body of Christ, everyone is significant. The parts unseen and seen. We're all precious. I was at Centre Parks and hurt my leg. And I can tell you, actually, if you've got a really bad leg, I shouldn't have played tennis, it was a mistake, I can see, you know. And I hurt my leg. And actually, I realised it's really hard to walk on one leg. But actually, as a church, truthfully, if we're not all doing and we're not all connected, then it is like walking around and limping. Because we're all called to be part of the family and community of Trinity. But we're also called to do that in our places that we work and live as well. What is it that God's asking us to be involved in? What are the walls that you're being asked to build? And it's so important that we all do it together. We are one body. And I just love the fact that actually we can come together. When I was reading the gates and all the rest of it, and actually I love this saying, it said, sometimes maybe you feel like you're building the dung gate. And actually you do, sometimes you think, ugh. And maybe you're serving as family and you're thinking, I'm seeing no fruit from this. And I just feel, we were outside this morning and we were praying because Sandy was rather busy clearing the room from an amazing work that we had in there. And we were praying in the area outside in the grass. And I was just looking at the trees. And I was thinking, at some point, somebody planted that. They may never have seen the fruit of it. And yet we enjoy the shade that it brings. And so actually, I don't know where it is you're called to serve. But I really pray that actually God reveals it to you. Where is he calling you in this family to serve? And actually that we faithfully do it. And even though we may not see it, know that God is watering it. God will breathe on it and bring life into it. And you know what? You may never see the fruit of it. Linda and I led a small group of kids, a Baptist church, a long time ago. And it was great, and we worked with them, and we baptised them, and they got married, and we didn't get an invite to their wedding. And I'm thinking, you know, I'll be real here. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Aren't we connected with these guys? You know, what we've done. And actually, you know, you can be so easily offended in family. But somebody put something up on Facebook or shared, I think, something with Linda. And they said the guy had written a blog and he'd said how important that group had been to him and his Christian life. And how important in him and his marriage and his children and what he was speaking to his children. Now, okay, we don't all need an ego boost. But do you know what? I just realised how easy it is to be offended. You know what? We live in natural families. And actually, I'm sure when they were building the wall, it would have been so easy to say, oi, Jill, come on, do a bit, work a bit harder, get on with it, you know. Your building's a bit rubbish. I know you're a goldsmith, but I'm a flipping builder. Make it, you know, actually in our natural family, we can find offence so easily. My daughter Rachel always calls me, she says, our Thomas family is a bit of a dysfunctional family. But she says, it works. And actually, as I was thinking about this, actually at Trinity, there is a sense of we are a sort of dysfunctional family, but we have Jesus at the very heart of it. But actually, the truth of it is that we don't need to be dysfunctional if we actually care for one another. Because you know what's interesting in that chapter? I think in verse 11, there's a character, Baruch, I think his name is, but I might be wrong. And he actually says he did his task and then he went and helped somebody else. And he's commended for it. And it's just, I just thought about, you know what? It's just as family and community, it's about looking out for one another. What's God calling us this morning to do? I don't know about you, but why don't we encourage one another more? Just imagine if we encourage one another more. And we might be the best people at encouraging each other, but I know I'm not sometimes. I don't know. I don't always thank the people for leading worship or for hosting or amazing stuff for doing the bookstall or other people at the back for doing PA or Steve who sits there at the laptop. When was the last time we thanked him? And he perhaps doesn't need it, but actually, do you know what? It's just really, Andy spoke about honour, I think. And actually, it's part of it, you know, community, honour, love, relationships, they all go together. It's just so important. Let's build another one up. I don't know about you, but I just loved, there was a couple of things that when I was looking at this, it said, you know, why don't we regularly encourage our Sunday school teachers? Encourage our pastors? Why don't we write a note to somebody and encourage them? Give them a word of scripture that will build them up. Why don't we write something? Because they are worth their weight in gold. And I just think, wow, what would we build if we were all living like that? If this morning we come in and we all feel that we're loved. Because truthfully, I don't know about you, but sometimes you can feel that, would anyone notice if I'm not here? But you know what? If one of the people wasn't working on the walls, there'd be a hole. And that's where the enemy would be coming in. So actually, you are a key important part here. We're called by God to be here as family. I don't think we're by here default. I think if you're here, you're here because God's placed you here. Because we are a family placed in North London to make a difference to the kingdom. And it's not just for this little place. It's beyond, isn't it? You know, think of the call. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Just imagine if the disciples in the upper room had said, right, okay. Oh, that was a lovely Holy Spirit moment. Oh, let's come. Look, should we go out and tell anybody? No, let's stay here for a bit more. No, they went out. And actually, they wanted to share what they had received with others. 3,000 were added to the church that day. But in something of what they shared, there was transformation. Because actually, there's something about modelling, isn't there? Jesus had got this little group together and modelled family and community. And they went out and they modelled something. And then we read about the church used to gather together, sharing all things together. Wow, what a wall they built. Wow, what a wall. And then I just thought, you know what's really important in family is loving one another well. And I love this. It said in Corinthians 12, it says, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body and each of you is part of it. Such a diverse group of people. Such a diverse group of people, and yet they built something amazing. And this morning, I just suppose my heart is to say, at Trinity, do we love one another well? Do we love one another well? I was at a sermon last week in the Peak District, and the guy was reading for 1 Corinthians 13. And he was reading, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Does not demand its own way. Is not irritable. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And actually, I thought, you know what? That is at the very heart of family and community, isn't it? Actually, you know what? If we think of our natural family, My word, we do need love to be patient and kind. Woof! You know what? Actually, we don't want love to be jealous or boastful, because actually, do you know what? In this family, some people are flying, and some people might be seem to have an amazing profile, and some people might seem to be really successful, and some people might be off doing this, and we're thinking, wow, but we don't want to be boastful, and we don't want to envy that. We want to be encouraging and say, fantastic, well done, good and faithful servant. Fantastic, we love what you're doing. We want to build one another up. Being family keeps no record of wrongs. And when I was thinking about them building the walls, and it talks about them being attacked, and it talks about the fact that they had one hand on their sword, the reality of it is that actually, I don't know about you, but it's quite hard to build with one hand. And one of my commentators said, actually, the reality is that, you know, it was just that as a community, you know, there was some building and there was some guarding, and it was just about knowing that they were being protected. And actually, as family here, we need to know that this is a safe place. We need to, this is a safe place that we can share and grow. This is a safe place that we can offer to pray for one another and build one another up. Because actually, we know that we've got each other's backs. We've got each other's backs. You know what? If another brother or sister is in trouble, we want to know that this is a place where we stand behind and say, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Dawla. You know. We're going to stand and we want to see amazing healings. We're going to pray for Baby Basics. We want to see Laura. We want to see Baby Basics be found outstanding. Not just a few of us, but all of us, because we want to see it be amazing. That's what family does. That's what family does. We want to be the very best church that we can be, because we are family and we are community. This morning, I just thought, you know what, I read something and it, I don't know who wrote it, and it said, people are searching for a place where they are accepted just as they are and are encouraged to be all they can be. They want to become part of a community that helps them to connect to God and to other people through bonds of love. That's what God wants for his people too. Will communities always be safe? No. There's a risk in every relationship. Can we improve? Yes. The key is to find the grace to interact with each other. In the midst of a broken, hate-filled world, it can be difficult. But it's definitely worth every step of the journey. And this morning, as I thought about this from family identity and how we are as community, I don't know about you, but it must be worth the journey for us to build something together. Yeah? And not just do church on a Sunday, but let's do church 7 days a week. Let's do family. And I really feel, and I'm really bad at it, we sometimes invite people over for dinner, but we don't do it enough. Actually, let's hang out together. Let's know each other better. Let's make sure there are no holes in our wall. Let's make sure we're a church that, you know what, when you're struggling, you've got someone you can pick up the phone to. You know there's somebody you can pick up the phone and you can pray with you. You know what? And when you want to celebrate, there's someone who you know. You don't have to worry if they're going to be envious because you've got a promotion. But you know they're going to celebrate with you and rejoice because we're family. And if you're struggling, you just need prayer. If we're healing, want healing, we can pray together. That's the sort of family and church I want to be part of. And I just was really struck by something I read this morning, which I now can't find because I can't find my phone. Because I was thinking about family, and family is, it's about legacy. And somebody wrote, legacy is not something you leave for someone, it's someone you leave in someone.
And actually, I don't know about you, but I'm really struck in this church by actually how many young people we have. From the tiny tots up to young adults who are looking and exploring life. I don't know about you, but as family, what do we do to support them? And I really just feel called as if, you know, we need to support those people as well. Because actually, do you know what? We don't want there to be a hole in their walls. Because they're going to go out into different places. May not be part of Trinity Church in the future, but we want them to be able to build strong walls where it is they live. We want to build people who send people out who can build strong communities. I just want to encourage us this morning to be family. I spent the day with my daughter Rachel yesterday, who's 21 years old. I love hanging out with my kids, and we went to Thorpe Park. And we'd done 17 rides the last time we were there, and this time we said we were going to do 22 rides. 22 roller coasters with no stopping. But you know what? As we were rushing around like lunatics, you know, I thought, actually, this is for us, family. And for each one of us, it's going to look different. I can't think of my friend Jerry thinking of this as being heaven, 22 roller coasters. But it doesn't matter because we are a different group of people. But we come together because God has called us. And God says, I've called you here to build a wall, to encourage one another, to live as family and to show love that surpasses all knowledge, love that is wacky, that when the outside world looks, they say, oh my word, what a mad group of people, but boy, do they have something that I want. Because that's what family and community do. We bear with one another, we love one another, and at the end of the day, we build a great kingdom for the King because we have a privilege of doing so. Amen.